Welcome back to the Wellness Wisdom Podcast, where we unravel complexities of health and wellness to bring you practical insights for a better life. I'm your host, Shannon Spears, and today we're diving into two interconnected topics that play a significant role in our overall well-being: inflammation and metabolic syndrome. Inflammation, typically the body's natural response to injury and infection, can take a darker turn when it becomes chronic, contributing to a host of health issues. On the other hand, metabolic syndrome is a cluster of conditions like high blood pressure, elevated blood sugar, excess abdominal fat, and it poses its own set of challenges in our health. Statistics show that 1 in 3 adults are struggling with metabolic syndrome, and the rate for children and adolescents is rising exponentially. So throughout today's episode, we're going to be exploring the ins and outs of inflammation and metabolic syndrome with a group of experienced health coaches, from understanding the root causes to practical tips for prevention and management. Today, we've got you covered. So whether you're well-versed in these topics or you're just starting your health journey, stay tuned for some engaging and informative discussion that might just reshape the way you think about your well-being. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Medical disclaimer, obviously the same as always. Before you make any changes, make sure you have a discussion with your doctor or your nurse practitioner. And today, the coaches we have with us is Bobby McGrath, Jane Phillips, Kathy Riley. Welcome, ladies. All right. So let's start by unraveling the mystery behind the term we often hear, but we might not fully understand. So inflammation. Our bodies are definitely incredible machines. We've talked about this on multiple episodes, right? And inflammation is definitely a part of that intricate system. It's designed to protect and heal us. But what happens when this natural response goes awry and becomes chronic? Jane, you want to talk about a little bit about what inflammation is?
Sure, absolutely. So inflammation is like the body's emergency response team. And so a way our immune system jumps into action when it senses trouble. So it's noticing the fire. And so imagine you get a cut or a splinter, and the automatic response with inflammation is that it kicks in to heal and protect. That's its primary focus. It involves a cascade of chemical reactions, the immune cells rushing in to the site of injury or infection, and they work together to clear out damaged cells and pathogens. And when the body is injured or infected, the immune system responds by releasing white blood cells and other chemicals to the affected area. And this process is called inflammation, which helps to isolate the injury to prevent it from spreading to other parts of the body. We don't want that, right? And helps remove damaged tissue, promote the growth of new tissue to repair the injury. So again, it's all about repair and prevention, you know, the process of inflammation.
Well, and the white blood cells rush in there to kind of just take over, and they're kind of like the army that's, you know, come in to help with the injury. Typically there's, as we all know, like if you fall down or you sprain, let's call a sprained ankle. Everybody has either seen one or had one. You know, it puffs up, it gets red. You can see it getting bigger. That's the acute piece of it. And then it's a necessary part of healing. But what happens with the chronic part of it is when that does not go the normal course, right? And the body cleans all that up and repairs the area. And when that doesn't happen, that's when you've got the chronic piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The acute inflammation is the body's quick and focus response to a specific threat. So it's like first responders arriving promptly and staying for about 2 weeks to deal with a crisis. And so it's like a controlled lingering fire. And like Bobby mentioned, it's the heat and the warmth and the swelling, the puffiness that will all serve an important temporary purpose. Now, when you get into chronic inflammation, it's a bit trickier. We got more advanced here. It's like having those emergency responders not only show up to the scene, but they're staying for months to years, which is not especially good, right? Not sustainable for your health. And over time, it can lead to a host of health issues because the body is in a prolonged state of alert And instead of healing, it starts causing damage to surrounding tissues along with the initial area that it showed up in. And then you run the loss of good function. And so when it goes crazy like that, it manifests in a lot of ways. For example, persistent fatigue, muscle aches, weight gain, frequent infections, gut issues, depression, anxiety, joint pain that just doesn't quit, even skin problems, believe it or not. It's been linked to several chronic conditions like heart disease and cancer and diabetes and arthritis. And it's like the body's alarm system is in overdrive. It's stuck on high alert. And the signs are a way of it saying, hey, something's not right here. So this is where paying attention to these signals becomes crucial for your overall health. Our body is working for us 24/7. And when we're not especially giving it what it needs to heal and repair and honor the processes that it normally does, it's going to speak to us. And the voices can get louder. I mean, not like we're schizophrenic or anything, but the symptoms are speaking to us, and they can get louder and stronger, and they can bring their friends, or can be more of them. And so I think it's ideal not to have to get to that point where they're bringing their friends or it's really loud. Oftentimes we get that wake up call if we waited too long. And the studies show that you take a particular test at the doctor's office, and by that time, the patient is already 2/3 sick. Mm-hmm. So let that sink in. It's really important to know that. So suffice to say that it's not a brick wall. It's that we have ways and means to address these issues. We have to, first of all, recognize what issue is at hand. And second of all, work with our doctors and our health coaches to pave a way to address these before they become something where it may not be reversible. So it's not a scare tactic that I'm using. It's reality of it all. And we're passionate health coaches who want to see you be well.
Yeah. I think you really hit a key point on that, Jane, that, you know, by the time you have specific tests and labs done, you're 2/3 of the way sick. I mean, it's a fact. It's a statistic that's out there.
And there's another statistic too, real quick. If you have one autoimmune condition, you're very likely to get 2 and 3, within the next few years. So, nip it in the bud, try to get all the inflammation under control. So I think that's something else to consider as well.
Yeah. And, the fact that, inflammation, obviously when we have acute inflammation, it's generally goes away within a couple of days or a week or two, depending on if you have a broken bone, a sprained ankle, it's going to take a little bit longer. But if you are noticing that things aren't going away and you've had things longer than 3 or 4 months, you've got some serious issues going on. You've got some serious inflammation going on, and it can happen in anywhere in your body, whether it's in your skin, it's in your gut, cuts that aren't healing even. That's one of the biggest signs, bruises that aren't healing, cuts that aren't healing, your body's not doing what it needs to be doing. So definitely need to, do something about it, get some tests done, reach out to somebody, talk about it. If you're sick frequently, your immune system is just being inundated. Inflammation is high in your body while you're sick. If it's constant, then your body doesn't have that chance to recover. So Bobby, can you talk a little bit about what the typical causes of chronic inflammation are for our audience?
Sure. I'd be happy to. I did a little research. And I found, kind of like you said, Kathy, that there's some research done, updated in 2023, that 60% of people have one chronic condition. And like you said, Kathy, 42% have two. Mm-hmm. And then 12% have five or more, which kind of is like the snowball is really getting much bigger as it's going down that hill. So that said, you want to make sure that when you do start to find some inflammation, like I know there's a lot of people that will just say, oh, my, I have some swelling here, or my finger hurts. Or I know when I was heading down the path of chronic inflammatory response syndrome, from mold toxicity. Mine started in my fingers, in my palm, in my toes, plantar fasciitis, things that just were hanging around that I was doing PT for and trying to change my diet for, and they weren't getting better. And it turned out it was mold toxicity. But some common causes, I'm going to read through this list here and did a little research. Dehydration is probably one of the number one things. You can't row a boat in a stream that has no water. And so if your lymphatic system cannot flow, if there's no water in the system to flow. So think about that. Poor choices like caffeine, poor water quality, think about that. Or high sugar drinks. When you've got sugar, you've got to store that sugar with water. So it's going to dehydrate you. Lack of restorative sleep or disrupted circadian rhythms, which is your body's natural sleep-wake cycle. If you are struggling to get to bed on time, your inflammation is not going to go anywhere. It's not going to get better. So really being good with your circadian rhythm and trying to get up and down asleep at the same times. High consumption of processed foods and eating non-organic foods. The higher toxin load you have, the more inflammation your body's going to have to deal with. Using man-made scented products. That is probably one of the things that, especially for women, because we put on all these beauty products and don't give it, a second thought to where did that scent come from? And if it's chemical based, which a majority of products are chemical based scents, you're going to have inflammation. It's just the process of your body, like trying to get rid of things that it's not supposed to have inside it. And then lack of downtime and the ability to de-stress. A lot of times people don't think about the fact that their ankles are swollen because they haven't taken, time to relax their nervous system. Because when your nervous system is in fight or flight, it's taking care of the fire that's in the front yard. It's not worrying about what's in the backyard, which is your underlying inflammatory condition. So anytime you have inflammation, like Jane said, that's a good sign that you really need to lock it down, whether it's your sleeping, eating, stress level, the products you're using, all of that, they all go into the same bucket of your inflammatory processes. And then some other things, like if you have exposure to mold or other environmental toxins, that is a huge inflammatory instigating process. Believe me, I know for sure firsthand for that. If you're carrying extra weight, and you have tried diet and exercise and you're not losing weight, that can be a sign that you have a high toxin load and your body stores toxins in your fat cells to protect us. But unfortunately, it also makes us fat, which fat actually produces an inflammatory chemical called, it's called omentum. And I'll talk about it a little bit later, but it's like your fat is actually releasing things that are making you inflamed, especially if you carry weight around your waist and your organs. Your internal terrain is important, meaning how your cells talk to each other. So there's actually something called a cell danger response, where when your cells are scared because of what's around them, whether it's chemicals, stress, toxins, poor food choices, poor quality of water, environmental issues, they're going to be stressed out themselves. And when you have that danger response in your cellular level, that's when inflammatory processes just snowball and pick up speed. So relaxing yourself, finding time to get yourself, de-stressed, whatever you go to, whether it's journaling, breathing, yoga, it doesn't matter, but you need to have some type of practice for that to improve your inflammation processes.
All great information, Bobby. So let's just continue on. And what's the impact of inflammation on our health? Now we understand acute inflammation and chronic inflammation, and a lot of the statistics that are out there and kind of what's going on with this. How does inflammation really impact our overall health? I definitely want to hear a little bit more about the omentum, because that is a fact that I did not know.
It's a real thing. Omentum is a sheet of unhealthy fat located deep inside of your abdomen, underneath your muscles and your stomach. And there are three primary kinds of fat. There's the fat that flows through our bloodstreams, which we all know, we absorb things, and triglycerides, it's basically what they're called. And they're the fat that clogs up your arteries. When you have damage in your arteries, the fat comes in and sticks in those holes to repair it, but it also builds up. And that's when you get the clogged arteries. You've got the subcutaneous fat, so the fat that you can actually feel or pinch under your skin. And then you've got the omentum fat. And that's the fat that's encompassing and surrounding your organs or infiltrating into your muscles or your actual, like you've heard of fatty liver disease. There's alcoholic fatty liver disease where it's, you're drinking so much alcohol that your body's trying to process the alcohol. And it's like, where do I put all of this stuff? So it packs it into your liver along with other places and fattens up your liver. But there's also the fat that just, it's got to go someplace, right? If you're not burning it, it's got to go someplace. And so it starts to build this sheet of fat that's surrounding your organs. And that's the thing that's actually ready available to your liver. And it's also the dangerous fat, the low density, small, tiny pieces of fat. That's the artery clogging fat. And so if you've got omentum, it actually secretes, it inhibits a secretion called adiponectin. And it's a stress and inflammation reducing chemical. So it's this fat that's around your organs, omentum, is actually inhibiting something that is trying to help your body reduce inflammation. So it's like this cycle of, you know, you're beating yourself up because of the fact that you've got this fat built up on your system. The other thing it does is it's suppressing your hunger hormone, leptin. So not only do you have this inflammatory omentum in your internal organs, but you're also suppressing leptin, which keeps you kind of not wanting to go and eat the refrigerator. And so if that's being suppressed, it's kind of like this cycle of I'm always hungry. I'm trying to lose weight, but I'm always hungry and now I'm inflamed. So it's kind of a big ball of wax of, you know, struggling with high cholesterol. Typically, you're going to have high cholesterol. You're going to have high blood sugar. You're going to have obesity. You're going to have a high blood pressure. Those are all big, like flashing red signs saying, you know, we've got a problem here. Houston, we have a huge problem. We have to address the inflammation, you know, and there's lots of different ways you can do it. And that's one of the things that health coaches can do is help you build an anti-inflammatory plan with, you know, what you eat, what you drink, how you spend your time.
Wonderful. See, I learned something new today. I love that. All right. So makes a lot of sense. Sure. And I know you had talked about, like, you know, the fatty liver disease that comes from alcohol. And we have the non-fatty alcohol liver disease as well, which means the same process is happening just from the foods that you're eating, the toxins that are coming into your body can have the same effect on your liver, right? So as we navigate,
sorry to interrupt you. One thing I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention, is one of the things that people can do, because they're like, well, how do I know if I have this omentum, or how do I manage this, or how, you know, you can do something super easy at home and just take a tape measure or a piece of string if you don't have a bendable tape measure and measure the string so you know how long it is and measure your waist. Go right across your belly button with it and figure out where you're at. Figure out a baseline of what's my waist, because as your waist gets smaller, you know, you're decreasing your fat cells and you're decreasing your omentum. And men want to be less than 40 inches and women want to be less than 35. So if that helps anybody just today to go find that, you know, measuring tape and, you know, try to make sure that they can keep track of marking that down every so often as they're working on things, that can be something that they can do.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why, and one I know with my clients, I have them do measurements, and I have them do measurements over their whole body, right? Because the less fat that is on their arms, their midsection, their thighs, right? Or, you know, like the lovely cellulite that us women get, especially after children, you know, to see that reducing, that's one of those non-scale goals that people can shoot for, right, when they're trying to get healthy. So as we navigate the intricate landscape of inflammation, understanding how to manage and reduce it obviously becomes paramount for our overall well-being. So let's shift our focus to some actionable steps, and then we'll go ahead and dive into metabolic syndrome. And at the end of this episode, we'll make that connection of how the two are connected. But I think our listeners are going to see, you know, how that connection is being made as we move along. So how can we reduce the flames of chronic inflammation and promote healthier, balanced lifestyle? Kathy, how about you take this one?
Yeah. Well, as Bobby was saying, you know, what you eat, I mean, we all have to eat. So what you put in your mouth three times a day or four times a day, if you're having a snack or something, you know, that's one of the most important things. So you do want to try to eat organic, low carb, low processed foods. And you also want to make sure that you're digesting your food properly. A lot of people don't have enough stomach acid. They're taking Prilosec or whatever other PPIs are taking. I think we've talked about this before, but make sure you're digesting your food properly. You're having proper bowel movements. Elimination is huge. So that's one of the first things that I would like to bring to the forefront. What you do, like I said, what you eat three times a day is really important. The next thing is, you know, really finding something, some kind of a movement that you enjoy. Even if it's just walking around the block, if you have to start with 10 or 15 minutes, you know, start with something. Find yoga, find an accountability partner, somebody to go walking with you. You know, that's always huge, you know, because sometimes you just don't feel like it. If you have somebody there who's, you know, depending on you to be there with them, it makes it a lot easier sometimes. So find something that you enjoy doing and just get out there and do it, you know, three or four times a week. Another big one that Bobby touched on is stress, or the stress perception. We all have stress. We can't eliminate it. You know, we're always going to have those things that happen. So learning how to deal with them and reframe them. One of the things I always love is, you know, you have to do something rather than you get to do something. You know, so that's, you know, just a swift little mind shift on that. And then another big one is getting proper sleep. Again, Bobby brought this up again, you know, earlier, but I truly believe that having a good night's sleep, going to bed at the same time, having no dogs or animals in the bedroom, no TV in the bedroom, having it completely dark is going to be such a huge benefit for helping you to reduce this inflammation overall. So it's not just about what you eat, but the other things, the movement and the sleep and also the way you manage your stress is so important on reducing inflammation.
Yeah. And as our listeners are here, like we say a lot of this same things like over and over again, right? Like we're literally trying to beat a dead horse because it takes so many times now of hearing something to finally, you know, one of those things to stick. So, but these are, you know, your foundations of health, doing these things, you know, properly. And everybody's going to find a different piece that they're adding, you know, every time they hear it. So as we transition into our next segment and talking about metabolic syndrome, this is a term that some of you may have heard, but might not fully grasp. And some of you may not have heard it at all. So let's unpack and learn more about this complex topic. So metabolic syndrome is more than just a collection of health indicators. It's a window into the interconnected dance of our body's functions. So from blood pressure to blood sugar, each element tells a story about our health. We have to pay attention to that. So let's embark on a journey to understand more about what metabolic syndrome is, the factors that contribute to its development, and perhaps more importantly, how we can take charge of our health to prevent and manage it effectively. So whether you're well acquainted with this term or hearing it for the first time, let's explore metabolic syndrome. Jane, can you explain to our audience what metabolic syndrome is and include how inflammation and metabolic syndrome kind of often intersect in health? And I'm going to jump in on this one with you too, but I'll let you start.
Yes, absolutely. So just to put it in a nutshell, metabolic syndrome is a cluster of conditions. You have things that increase the risk of heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and it's generally diagnosed when a person has at least three of these traits, and I'm going to read them off. Like Bobby said, larger waistline, greater than 40 inches in men and 35 inches in women. High triglyceride levels, generally above 150, low HDL, which is considered the good cholesterol, if you have it lower than 40, high blood pressure, something over 130, over 85 generally, if you have elevated fasting blood sugar of 100 or higher, and it's increasingly common, like everyone was saying, as Shannon was saying and everything. And up to 1/3 of adults in the U.S. have it, and it's closely linked to overweight and obesity and inactivity and insulin resistance. So chronic inflammation is currently considered a common molecular basis of metabolic syndrome. It definitely contributes to it, and its complications such as diabetes, hepatic steatosis, and atherosclerosis. I'm trying really hard. diagnosis includes blood tests and blood pressure monitoring. And it helps to identify the underlying condition. That's not the whole shebang of that. There's more things that fall into place in that, but those are the general preliminary things that they use. So if you have metabolic syndrome or any of its components, you really, really want to consider aggressive lifestyle changes to delay it and even prevent the development of serious health problems. We just need to get real with ourselves, acknowledge it, and carve a path forward to reverse it.
Agree. And the reason that we're talking about both inflammation and metabolic syndrome together is because inflammation is the root cause of issues like metabolic syndrome. If you've paid attention to what Bobby and Kathy and Jane have said up until now, you should hopefully see that connection. You know, when your body is not getting the nutrients it needs, when it's overburdened with trying to rid itself of toxins from the foods you eat, the environment you're in, the lack of movement and stress, that inflammatory process starts to kick in, right? And it goes from acute to chronic. When we ignore it, continue with the same food and lifestyle choices, it starts affecting our bodies in so many different ways. And as you have heard in other episodes that we've done, heart disease, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, these all stem from chronic inflammation in the body. And now we're looking at metabolic syndrome that encompasses, you know, you're on the road to metabolic syndrome if you have just one of those. You're in metabolic syndrome if you have more than one of those, you know? So now we've got other things that are going on, and each one of those diagnoses is affecting each other because the body is just struggling, Type 2 diabetes is due to inflammation, you know, and the overburdening of the pancreas and the liver. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is inflammation in the liver and the digestive system, where fat deposits are now gathering and preventing the liver from doing its job, preventing the digestive system from properly working. Obesity, as we've just talked about, creates inflammation in the body and the toxins because your body doesn't know where what to do with the toxins. And so it's just depositing as fat. So in doing research about this and working with people with metabolic syndrome for a couple of years now, it's really obesity seems to be definitely the correlating factor. You know, it doesn't have to be overly obese, but it's happening in children now as well. When we ignore the inflammation that's being created in our body, then, you know, this just puts us on that path to metabolic syndrome. And in my opinion, I mean, it shouldn't be a diagnosis in order to get you to change. Being aware and being educated about the path that where inflammation can lead when it's long term, the things it can lead to, and learning how to prevent them and educate yourself on preventing them is where you should be. Even if you are there now, taking the steps that we're talking about, educating yourself and making some healthy choices and some changes in your life can deter that path, and you can, you know, have a healthier body, have a healthier metabolism. That's what it boils down to, is your metabolism can't work properly because all these other things are going on. So we want to get that metabolism back to working where it naturally should be. So we're going to talk a little bit more in a few minutes about the impact of metabolic syndrome on a person's health. But first, I want to talk about, Bobby, what are the risk factors of metabolic syndrome that people need to know about?
Well, there's things you can control in your health, and there's things you can't control. So one of the things that you can control are your lifestyle habits, which Kathy's gone over, Jane's gone over, Shannon's already mentioned. But being inactive is probably one of the bigger ones. When you're inactive, your body's just kind of a slug, right? Things don't move, your muscles don't move, things like that. Eating an unhealthy diet, not sleeping much, but smoking is also not your friend, especially coming with the metabolic syndrome. And then shift workers can actually have problems with their metabolic issues because of the circadian rhythm disruption that they have with the fact that they work at night and sleep during the day. Some risk factors that you can't control are your age, and typically metabolic syndrome, it gets increased as we get older. it can happen. If you have an environmental area, yes, toxins are a part of it, but if you live in an area that has food deserts and you're not able to get proper, you know, healthy, nutritious food, or economy-wise, you don't have the means to eat well, that is a risk factor. Family history, genetics, you know, if you have a family history of, like Shannon mentioned, diabetes, things like that, those are warning signs along the way that your genetics may play some part. It's not the only thing. And a lot of people say, well, my grandma or grandpa or my parents had this or that. You can break the chain. You can break the cycle for sure. But you need to be aware that the cycle is even there, that that's a possibility. Older adults, what sex you are also impacts it. Women have a higher propensity to have the metabolic syndrome, especially as we go through menopause and come out the other side. We've got lower levels of the good cholesterol, quote, that is helping us. So that's going to be an issue. Other medical conditions besides being overweight and obese are, if you have polycystic ovarian syndrome, that's also a condition that's going to probably lead you down that path towards metabolic syndrome if you're not watching out for it, or you may have that precede, you know, the fact that you become have issues with your ovaries. If you have issues, you can also have issues with your immune system. That's also something that can cause things like Jane mentioned, like skin issues and psoriasis, things that will raise your risk for that. And then certain cancer treatments can also raise your risk for metabolic syndrome, unfortunately.
All right. So the impact of metabolic syndrome on a person's health. I want to talk about that for a few minutes. Individuals with metabolic syndrome often have, as we've mentioned, high blood pressure, elevated triglyceride levels, and low HDL, right? This is a combination that significantly increases the risk of heart disease and stroke. It's also, metabolic syndrome is also closely associated with insulin resistance, where the body's cells become less responsive to insulin. And this leads to elevated blood sugar levels, ultimately increasing the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Central obesity, as we've talked about, particularly excess fat around the waist, is a common component of metabolic syndrome. So managing weight becomes crucial, as obesity being linked to not only to metabolic syndrome, but it's intricately linked to insulin resistance as well. Metabolic syndrome is also often accompanied by, as we've said, chronic inflammation. This plays a role in the development of various diseases. And the inflammatory state that chronic inflammation can create contributes to the progression of cardiovascular issues. Non-fatty alcoholic liver disease, it's a common consequence, and we've talked about, you know, how it accumulates fat. So just as when you're drinking alcohol, just the toxins and everything can accumulate fat around your liver, and this leads to inflammation. So the inflammation can come first, or the inflammation can come from that as well, okay? Individuals with metabolic syndrome, they're really going to experience reduced energy levels, increased fatigue, a diminished quality of life due to the impact of, you know, what's going on in their body and the various organs that are being attacked. So managing your health issues associated with metabolic syndrome really lead to increased healthcare costs. You know, we've talked about this in a previous episode, you know, of, you know, the expense of healthcare versus having a health coach, right? If you're managing something like this, like, you've got a lot of doctor's appointments, you've got a lot of prescriptions that you're on in conventional medicine. So it's going to cost you quite a bit. Individuals with metabolic syndrome often need to make significant lifestyle changes. So you need to make modifications to your diet, physical activity, making sure if you're on prescriptions that you're taking those prescriptions, when you're supposed to take them, how long you're supposed to take them, you know, with or without food, all of these different things. And these obviously are going to change the impact on what your daily routine is. It's also going to increase your stress level, having to do a lot of these things. So it's important to note that, you know, the impact of metabolic syndrome, it's not just physical. You hear us talking about a lot of the physical aspects of it, but it's also going to affect your mental health and your well-being, your stress levels. So the awareness of being at an increased risk for the serious health conditions that come with this, we need to be aware of that so that we can jump ahead of those and be able to reduce our stress, be able to reduce the anxiety that is going to come with having those things. It's a huge stress, not just on the person who is going through those symptoms and having those health issues, but it's also affecting everyone else around you, especially your immediate family. And they're watching your health decline, and there's nothing that they can do about it. Only you, you know, have the ability to make choices to do something about it. So I think it's really important as a health coach, you know, I talk with my clients a lot about this. How is your health affecting the rest of your family? What are their thought processes? How are they supporting you? Do they understand what's going on? You know, do they need education as well? Because, you know, in that case, especially when it comes to having metabolic syndrome, because there's a myriad of things that are going on, you do need that support. And you need support in making the decisions that are going to come your way and the potentials of really bad health issues stemming from this, things like strokes, heart attacks, and things like that. So as we navigate more of the complexities of metabolic syndrome today, one alarming trend stands out. It's increasing prevalence among adolescents. So today we're shining a spotlight on why this is critical, and it demands our attention. So the combination of obesity and sedentary lifestyles and dietary habits in today's society have given rise to a concerning surge in metabolic syndrome, especially among our younger generation. So according to recent studies, the rates of obesity among adolescents have tripled in the last few decades. This isn't just a matter of aesthetics. It's a gateway to a cluster of issues with metabolic syndrome at the forefront. In fact, 63%, I'm going to say that again, 63% of adolescents 12 to 19 years of age are grappling with one or more of the risk factors for metabolic syndrome. Anywhere from elevated blood pressure to insulin resistance to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. One in three of the 63% also struggles with obesity, which is setting them up for a very, very long road of health symptoms. Why is this happening and why should we be deeply concerned? Well, the answer lies in the shifts that we've witnessed in lifestyle and dietary patterns. The prevalence of sedentary activities, such as prolonged screen time, a decrease in physical activity, all those video games, social media, all of that that our kids are running into right now, right? It's become the norm for so many of our 12 to 19 year olds. And when it becomes the norm for that age, it's going to continue into their young adult life, you know, from 20 and on up. Combine this with the easy accessibility of high calorie, low nutrient foods, and we have a recipe for metabolic disaster. Recent surveys indicate that a majority of adolescents spend more than 8 hours a day sedentary and in front of screens as of 2021, contributing significantly to a sedentary lifestyle. You know, and I do know, you know, we take into effect the fact that we've had 3 years of this viral chaos where there was a lot of isolation and kids are forced to be at home and doing school and things like that, right? So that has obviously increased because the rates increased dramatically from 2019 to 2021. So that has a big factor on it. But the problem is now is where do we go from there? When you're used to those patterns, you know, how do you get back to kids getting away from screen time and getting out and getting, you know, that movement that they need every day? So the implications of this trend are absolutely profound. You know, metabolic syndrome not only increases the risk of developing chronic conditions in adolescence, but sets the stage for a lifetime of health challenges. It's not just about here and now. It's about the trajectory these young lives are on and the potential for a future marked by preventable health issues. So as a society, it's really important that we recognize the urgency of addressing these factors. It's not just about individual choices. It's about creating environments and fostering healthy habits. So let's talk about prevention and management tips for all ages. How can our audience take an active role in reducing inflammation and managing metabolic health? Kathy, you want to take this one?
Sure. One thing that we want to talk about, what we have been talking about, is how the inflammation and metabolic health are directly related. So to mitigate that, again, you know, you have to look at your lifestyle. You're looking at reducing the inflammation, eating whole foods, fruits and vegetables, good healthy fats, and good meats. Organic and non-GMO fruits and vegetables are huge in this field. So knowing which ones are the clean 15 and the dirty dozen, which you can find on the EWG website, are huge. One way I like to, you know, without even looking at that website, is if you're going to eat the skin of a fruit, a peach or an apple or something like that, or berries, make sure it's organic. Leafy vegetables, lettuces and spinaches, you want to make sure that they are organic. If you're not eating the skin, such as an avocado or a banana or an orange, those are the ones that you can usually typically get that are not organic. That's just an easy way to remember it. If you're going to eat the skin or a leafy vegetable, try to get organic. Good fats, you know, the avocados, walnuts, olive oils, and avocado oil is one of my favorite. Coconut oil is okay as well. But the seed oils, anytime you look at the back of a, let's say, a salad dressing jar, you're going to see canola and soybean oil. Those are the ones that you want to stay away from. The other thing is maybe even looking at some of the food sensitivities. There are some really easy tests out there that you can find out which foods you're sensitive to, because if you are struggling with those sensitivities, it's going to keep your inflammation up. So if you're allergic to, let's say, gluten is a huge one. You know, gluten and dairy are huge in this space for being having a lot of allergic reactions or sensitivities, excuse me, I shouldn't say allergic, but the sensitivities to those foods will cause increased inflammation. So you want to make sure that you know which ones you are dealing with. Excessive sugar, that's a huge one too. Everything's full of high fructose corn syrup. If I'm trying to find, you know, something, I'm at least looking for real sugar versus a high fructose corn syrup. And then staying away from all of these artificial sweeteners, I think we discussed earlier as well. They are doing nothing but giving you more inflammation. So reduce your sugar, even if it's just one teaspoon at a time. If you're going to Starbucks and getting that latte that we were talking about a few weeks ago, start having them reduce that sugar. I've seen people who have done that and have done really well. Environmental toxins. I think we talked about this as well. Reducing all of those artificial scents that we have in our homes, our laundry detergents, our plug-ins, and those kind of things. Your skincare products. Make sure that you're looking at removing phthalates and sulfates and things like that. And then again, you know, the stress. Make sure that when you sit down to eat, you're enjoying your food and you're able to digest it and absorb it. So that would be several of the things that I would suggest to start reducing that inflammation and reducing your risk for metabolic syndrome.
Thank you, Kathy. And I want to stress too that you don't have to make all these changes at once, right? We've talked about that on a couple of different episodes here and there, but it's choosing what is going to be an easy change for you to make today. And in a couple of days or in a week, what's another change that you can start making? You know, it's hard if you're eating out a lot, you're eating a lot of processed foods, a lot of frozen foods, things like that. It's hard to just all of a sudden wipe all of that out and eat healthy. It has to be step by step, you know, starting small, especially when you have family and you have kids, you know, not everybody's going to be on board. So have it sitting down, having those discussions and really choosing where you're going to make those changes as a family, because you're not only taking these steps for you, but you also are taking these steps to help your family's health as well when you have a family, right? And it just makes it easier for sure when everybody else is on board. But then you get the added benefit of knowing that your family has taken the proper steps to get themselves healthy or to keep themselves healthy if they already are healthy, right? One of the things I want to talk about too is, you know, during the recent couple of years of the viral chaos that we've had, one of the things I know all of us agree on that should have been at the forefront of education is this exact topic of talking about inflammation and metabolic syndrome, because this is where a lot of the comorbidities that were causing a lot of tragedies during the viral chaos come from. And for people to realize that when your body is overburdened, when your immune system is trying to deal with all of these health issues that you have, when you get sick, when you get a virus, when you have a bacterial infection, your body does not have the energy, the engines, or anything to deal properly with that and get rid of it and prevent your body from getting a dent. So, you know, to be able to have your body in tip-top shape at all times, to do what you can to reduce the inflammation, to make sure your sleep habits are good, make sure that you're getting movement and your ability to detox and get those lymph glands moving through movement every day is going to put your body in a state where when it is attacked by different things like viruses and bacteria, it can handle it. It can deal with them and going to action and mitigate and get rid of, you know, those threats against your body. and within just a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, but you know, with minimum symptoms, and be able to get you back in tip-top shape. It's super, super important, you know, that conversation along with, you know, eating clean, eating healthy foods, and not eating processed foods. Those are the two main conversations that should have come up over the last 3 years and didn't, by those that we trust. So, you know, some of those that we follow obviously did, our government did not, and that's the big thing. So I want to end this episode today with our North Star tip of the week for you.
Hey, Shannon, before you do that, can I just drop in something really quick?
Sure.
One of the things that I know, I don't know the exact, you know, stats, but 80% of what we eat comes out of our house, unless you're a person who literally eats out all the time. And so as families, parents, you know, we are the ones buying the groceries and filling up our homes, right?
Yeah.
So if this podcast is hitting you in the gut and you're saying, wow, you know, I have metabolic syndrome, my kids may have metabolic syndrome, just doing a complete pantry and fridge clean out and just wiping the slate clean, having your kids help you and letting them know, hey, we're gonna shift gears here. Mom and dad have maybe some issues, health issues that we have now passed on to you all, and we don't want to see that, and clean it up. And you might be surprised if you put some things in place for your kids and yourself, and they see you modeling, like, mom's not eating Cheetos anymore. She's put down the Diet Coke. Dad stopped, you know, drinking the beer every single night. All those changes that you make, they're going to model, and that you're modeling, they're going to rub off on your kids. But we are actually, you know, the people who bring the food into the house. So maybe you just really need to do a gut check for yourself and, you know, clean up the system and see what kind of changes can happen. Because if you're not buying it, they're probably not going to be able to get their hands on it as much. And I'm not saying restrict it to the point where they get nothing, but like, one of the things we did when my kids were little, my husband gave them a dollar if we went to his place for dinner and they got a kid's meal and they did not get a soda. They walked out with a dollar in their pocket. So there's a lot of behavioral changes that can happen. You just have to take the time to think about it and the effort to clean out your pantry and your refrigerator and not buy that food anymore. And you might be surprised what changes can happen for your entire family.
Yeah, pick one thing. Like I was saying, the high fructose corn syrup, you know, eliminate that from your house. Start with that.
Yeah, start small. Yes, absolutely. Fortify your terrain.
Yeah,
whether that's your house and your inner terrain as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, and those habits will build, especially with kids. So, you know, I know with my kids, we did the best we could here with what we had available. And we still had some other non-healthy snacks, but they were a minimum. It was like an 80-20. You know, and we knew that when they went to their friend's house, they were probably getting things that they wouldn't get at home, but that was okay. The education and the modeling that we did sets them up for success in the future, you know, and they'll learn, you know, especially if you have a household, like I called Almond Mom or Crunchy Mom household, you know, if they are going to get into those things at a friend's house, whatever, and then all of a sudden they get a stomach ache because they've eaten all the candy, whatever they don't normally get, like they'll learn those lessons. You just have to give them the ability to learn those lessons and they'll carry those forward. You know, kids are a lot more intelligent than we give them credit for, you know, so definitely keep that in mind. And it's really, I know with my kids, it was just talking through why we had the changes we had. Just that constant reminder of, I'm doing this because, and I don't want you to, you know, whatever that is. So great tip, Bobby. Thank you.
Experience is our best teacher.
Yes.
Always. Yep. We have to learn from doing.
All right. So that brings us to the end of another insightful episode of the Wellness Wisdom Podcast. I hope you have found today's information on inflammation and metabolic syndrome enlightening and empowering. The more you know, the better you do in making health and lifestyle changes. So our North Star tip for you is do a sugar awareness challenge. So inflammation, a lot of times at the bottom of inflammation is sugar. So, you know, heart disease and diabetes and all that, we think of it as sugar, as, you know, all these different things. Some people will say, you know, heart disease is cholesterol and things like that. But at the bottom, it is sugar that creates that inflammation in our body. It is the biggest thing. And so just challenge yourself to a week of heightened sugar awareness, not even removing the sugar yet. But just look at the things that you're eating every day and you're drinking every day. How much sugar is in that? You know, typically you should only have a maximum of 4 teaspoons of sugar a day. So that's not very much. I think there's 6 grams of sugar, 4 to 6 grams of sugar in each, the four teaspoons. So 20 to 25 grams of sugar a day is the maximum. Okay. Guarantee you're getting a lot more than that and you don't even know it. So
yeah. One soda. I forget how much one soda has in it. You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
it is. Even the little mini ones, you know, and don't go to the diet because then you get the toxic artificial sweetener. So that's not helping you either. That's creating inflammation. So just be aware, look at what's around you, how much sugar you're intaking, how much sugar your kid's intaking, and think about what that's doing to your body and the long-term projections of that. So I want to give a special thank you to all of you today for being here and sharing your expertise. If you have any questions or if there's a topic that you want us to cover in a future episode, please feel free to reach out to us via email, on social media, anything like that. You can find all of that information by clicking the link below in the show notes. Remember that your health journey is ongoing. We're here to support you every step of the way. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing, leaving a review. Reviews really help boost us up in the numbers and help other people find us, or share it with someone you might think find this information valuable. Until then, take care, be well, keep making positive choices for a healthier you. Thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next episode of the Wellness Wisdom Podcast. Have a great week, everyone.